Good morning. Good morning. Sorry that it's a little chillier than normal in here. We came in and our heat was off. It's working now, and the good news is it's 5 degrees warmer than it was for the early crowd. Okay, so you hit the jackpot on that 5 degrees. Makes all the difference, but we're on it. And let me get to the right page here. I'm not used to running my own slides, but every now and then we do a service that requires me to have to. But we are talking about our 2017 ministry impact report this morning, and we're talking about it this year. We do this every year. We just kind of take some time to kind of look back. The entire report is online, so you can view it there later today, not while I'm talking, but later today or throughout the week. It's a whole lot broader than what I'm going to show you today. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. But we're viewing it this year in light of the series that we're in. And we've been in this series for a couple of weeks. We're going to be in it for a couple more weeks. And we've been talking about a question for the last couple of weeks. And it's a challenging question. For some of us, I think it can be an intimidating question when we think about asking it of ourselves and even, you know, what does taking action on this question maybe look like for us? And the question that we've been asking is what breaks your heart? And for the last 2 weeks, I haven't even asked you to do anything with the question, right, or about the question. I've just asked you to think about it, just to kind of sit on it, think about it, pray about it, let God begin to show you some things. I hope you've been doing that. But what breaks your heart? That's what we've been looking at. What when you look around at what's going on around you, when you look at where you work, where you live, our country, our culture, the world. What is the one thing that you would say, you know, really stirs your emotions so much so that you just can't let it go, that you just can't kind of get your mind off of it, and that is what is the one thing that maybe when you hear about it, when you read about it, when you see it, you think to yourself, somebody needs to do something about that. And then last week I gave you another question to kind of help you think about this question. Actually, it's more of a statement to finish, but it goes like this. At the end of my life, I would like people to line up and thank me for what? At the end of my life, I'd like people to line up and thank me for what? What is it that you would say, and this goes beyond, you know, loving our kids and our grandkids and taking care of our family and planning for the future and all the things that we all have to do, right? But beyond outside the realm of family and planning for the future and all of that, what at the end of your life would you say you would want people to line up and to thank you for? And that's a question that I think all of us as individual followers of Jesus should ask. But it's also a question that we should ask as corporately as the body of Jesus, as the local church. In fact, I think it's a question that all healthy churches ask in one way or another. And we've asked this question in our church, here's how we've asked this question of ourselves here at Fairfax Circle. And we've asked the question over the years, multiple times in various ways throughout the years, in an effort to make sure that we're actually making a difference and making the world a better place. And here's how we've asked it of our church. If this church, if Fairfax Circle Church, if this church ceased to exist, would it be missed? That's the question we ask ourselves. You know, would anybody notice? Would it have an effect on people outside of our church? And I think that's a question that we should never stop asking ourselves. And that question is why what we're doing today is so important, because what we're doing today, as we look back at 2017 and we take a look at some of the highlights from our ministry impact report, what we're doing is we're answering that question to some extent. And so I want to just real quickly this morning, and I'm going to sprint through a lot of this and I talk fast, but I want us to just look at a few of the things from our 2017 ministry impact report, highlight some of that stuff. And I want to, like I said, encourage you to look at the entire report that's on our website. But this morning, I want to hit some highlight, and then I just want to leave us with three key areas, broad areas, that I feel like as a church we should focus on, things that I feel like should stir us emotionally to the point of action this next year and in the years to come. So kind of some highlights from 2017. One of the big highlights was we celebrated 50 years as a church. We had our 50th year anniversary as a church, and we took some time to to not only look back at the history of our church and where we came from and how this church was formed and everything that had kind of happened in that 50-year time frame, but we also took a look at our current core values, our five core values, and how we could see those values actually existed from the time the church was formed and pretty much have driven the church over the last 50 years. Here's a graphic that Charlotte put together for us, our communications director, that I just love. And again, these are in no particular order that I'm giving you this morning, but this is just a picture of our volunteers. And when you volunteer, it's volunteer leaders. So we have all kinds of volunteers, but we have four staff members on staff right now in our church, two full-time, two part-time. We have one empty staff position. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But we have 88 volunteer leaders, and these are people who have made a core commitment on some level to lead in a significant way, in an ongoing way. I'm not talking about volunteers who show up for an event like hypothermia response, and we need all the volunteers we can get to make that successful. Or people who show up and help pack shoeboxes, we need volunteers to do that. I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about people who have said, I will be here, I will lead this team, I will lead this ministry, or I will be a part of this ministry week in and week out to make sure it happens. We have 88 of those people that make sure things happen. That's incredible to think about, that those are the people that are leading our church, and we have that many people who are committed in that way. As our church continues to grow and as we continue to do more, obviously, we need more people committed on that level. Another great thing that happened was we dedicated 10 kids this year. There's a few of them up there. That's not all the kids that we dedicated and some of their parents. But that was an incredible moment to have. And some of the kids are newborns and some of them are older kids. And parents said, you know, we've never dedicated our kids. And we want to take that step in our family spiritual formation. So it's a great thing. And you guys are having babies, so keep them coming. It's a great way to grow the church. Right? So that's awesome. And then we baptized 7 people, which was an incredible time of celebration throughout the year through those 7 baptisms this past year, kids and adults. And we're talking to a few people right now who are thinking about baptism as their next step in their faith journey as well. So if that's something you're thinking about, we'd love to have a conversation with you about baptism. Sunday mornings are a big thing around here, right? It's where we come together in a large group setting, connect with each other and all. I wanted to talk about attendance just a little bit, just give you a little bit of some information on this. So our attendance went down slightly, and that's not a super great graph because it's not a detailed graph. So those are jumping in 50 increments, I think. So we're down by a few folks of 2017, about in line with 2015. So somewhat plateaued over the last 3 years in terms of growth. I tell people all the time, you know, we have to grow at this church, and any church in Northern Virginia has to grow anywhere from 15 to 20% a year just to keep up with the people that leave and move out of the area and transfer out. So it's a very transitional area. So it's always interesting with church growth in Northern Virginia. But one of the things that is interesting about, and I read cultural trends all the time as they relate to church stuff. And in fact, I think I probably drive our staff crazy sending them blog posts and articles, and we talk about it in staff meeting and all. But I can't get enough of that stuff. But one of the cultural trends that we have in our country now is people don't attend church as often as they used to. People used to attend church just because that's just what you did on Sundays, right? You can remember 20 years ago that was probably true for you. Maybe when you grew up, you know, your family just went to church regardless of commitment level or how involved. You just went to church on Sundays, what you did. That's no longer the case in our culture anymore. People do not just find their way to church just for the sake of it. And people are more sporadic, particularly as we get younger generations. It's always interesting. One of the things that we do in staff meetings each week is we just kind of look at the list of folks who are connected here and folks that are new here and how are people assimilating and getting involved and things like that. And it's not unusual for somebody to get on our radar and say, you know, we haven't seen them in about 4 or 5 weeks. We need to check in and find out what's going on, or check with their small group leader, or check in that ministry they serve and just check in on where they are. And about the time we say that, you know, 5 weeks in, all of a sudden they show back up. right? And that they're here next Sunday. We're like, hey, and we missed you. And they're like, what do you mean you missed me? And I was like, Daisy said, I've been here. But, you know, for them, 5-6 weeks is not a big deal. That's a cultural trend that all churches are just having to navigate in terms of attendance. So attendance is not going to tell us as much as it used to tell us about how we're doing as a church. We're going to have to figure out other ways to kind of measure that. The other cultural trend, the dynamic that we're seeing in churches is attendance no longer drives engagement. That used to be the norm. Attendance, people would attend and then they would get involved. The opposite is now true. Engagement drives attendance. So churches that are going to succeed moving forward into the future are not going to be churches that attract people. It's going to be churches that engage people in what they're doing to make the world a better place. That's why what we're talking about is so, so important to the life of this church. So just wanted to throw that out. Sometimes I wanted to give you this number. So we average about 200 people on any given Sunday morning, Easter and Christmas and some other Sundays. It's a little bit higher than that. That's about 150 adults and about 50 kids, they, give or take, is where we landed. And students are typically either in worship or serving in kids ministry, so they're in that mix as well. Now, it is interesting that one of the things I hear people say sometimes about our church is, you know, we're a small church. You know, we're a small church. It describes us as a small church. And you may not be aware of this, but actually we're not a small church. We're actually a medium-sized church in America. Half the churches in America are 75 people or less. That's the median. 75 is the median size of churches in the USAT. Yeah, so we're kind of in that medium size range. So just thought I would throw that out there. Like I said, I'm a nut for that stuff. Investing in the next generation. We talk about this a lot. It's why child dedication is so important to us. Baptizing children when they're ready to take that step is important to us. And when I talk about next generation, I'm talking about everyone from our newest born baby to our elementary age kids, to middle school students, high school students, and college age adults, 20-somethings, that group. And kids ministry, you got a taste of kids ministry a few weeks ago when I was out of town and Elise filled in. If you were here, it was a very creative service. It was a very active service. You were up doing calisthenics and stuff with the songs and all that. Anybody here for that? Remember that? Yeah, lots of you. So we have four groups of kids on Sunday mornings, just to make you aware, and we do this in both services. But we have what we call Baby All-Stars, which is the youngest. It's through three-year-olds. Little All-Stars is three-year-olds to pre-K, 4 or 5-year-olds. And then All-Stars is kindergarten through fifth grade. This is elementary-age kids. And then we have a group called Tweens. And we call them tweens because they're in between, right? They're not kids anymore. They will tell you that. They're not teenagers, and so they're not. They will tell you they don't belong in kids ministry anymore. Okay, our high school students will tell you they don't belong in youth ministry. Okay, they belong in tweens. So we just created a few years ago. We just created a whole separate environment for them to meet their unique spiritual needs. It's typically a smaller group because it's just sixth graders, but we have an adult that invests in them every week. We have around 50 kids in our kids ministry. And here's the great thing I love about our kids ministry. We have 12 leaders who show up every week, each and every week, the same leaders investing in our kids through small group ministry in those age groups. And that's incredible. And you need to think about what kind of a commitment that takes for those leaders to do that. Because those leaders don't just show up for kids ministry. They show up for worship too. And so if they're in kids ministry this worship service, they were here for the early service for worship. And if they were here, if they were doing kids ministry in an early service, they show up for worship in this. So it's a long day for those leaders to serve in that way. But we couldn't do kids ministry on the level that we do it without them. And then we've got 12 leaders that show up, that rotate in each month to come along and support those ministries each month on a rotating basis. Student ministry. We got about 20 students. On any given Sunday, on Sunday nights, they meet from 5 to 7, and again, they do a large group, small group format as well. That number's down slightly this year because we graduated one of our largest senior classes last year with about, I think, 10 graduating last year. and didn't move up quite that many from the sixth grade into seventh grade. Again, we've got six small group leaders who show up every Sunday night from 5 to 7 to invest in our middle and high school students through small groups and through large group. And I think it says a lot about our leaders. We also have two leaders who support them logistically and through administrative stuff when we do a lot of our events that you see up there, our high school, middle school retreats, our week-long camp of MFuge and lock-ins and all that good stuff. We got a couple of people that help figure out the logistics and administrative side of that and work with our regular small group leaders to make sure all that happens. I was having a conversation with another pastor this past week, last week, and we were talking, he was asking, how's it going? How's your student ministry going and all? Because they knew we were without a student pastor. And I said, you know, we're looking. It's been hard to find the right person that's willing to come to Northern Virginia and live in this high cost of living area. But we're still looking. And he said, well, how's the ministry going? I said, it's really going great. In fact, you know, over the last year and year and a half, we've actually, you know, gained some new families and some new students. And he said, that says a lot about your adult leaders who are leading that student ministry. And I agree, it really does. And so we couldn't do it without them. Did you know we have 22 college students that this church supports? Now, not all of them are deeply connected to this church. Some of them are connected to people who are connected in this church. But our college student ministry, the people who lead that, are connected to 22 college students all around the country. And they do things like send them gift cards, like Starbucks and things like that. You know, handwritten notes, birthday cards, care packages twice a year. And I told the early service, and I'll give our college group leaders a little prompt here, a little tip. When you're sending handwritten notes, those are great, by the way, for a college student, especially the ones that are away to school. But my son's going to college locally, so he gets them at our house. And he even loves getting the handwritten, but particularly those that are away, getting a handwritten note is incredible, right? But when you write those, if you're one of the ones writing those, if you would print them, okay, because I've told my kids, you know, at some point us old people are going to take over the world and cursive is going to be our secret code that we're going to use. And you guys are never going to break it, right? Because they can't read cursive. My son, who's a freshman in college, comes in and goes, Dad, can you read this to me? I'm like, what? You're in college. I got to read this to you? So can't read cursive. Can't make it all out. So print it. But it really does it really does work. And I tell you, I don't get, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, they don't email their pastor very often, okay? It's just not something that they do. It's not in their wheelhouse to email their pastor. But I can tell you, every year when we send those care packages, without fail, I will get either a text, an email, a direct message through Facebook from one or two of our college students telling me what a difference that made in their day, in their week. Thank you. Let the people who did this, I don't know who they are, but whoever they are, tell them thank you for what they're doing. I hear the same thing from their parents. So you are making a difference if you're serving. It's a very, very behind-the-scenes type ministry. I don't even know everybody who's involved in this ministry, but if that's something that you want to be a part of, we would love to connect you with that ministry. Hospitality, we can't do without our morning coffee on Sundays, right? And so these folks get the award. But we've got people who lead in hospitality every week and make all of that happen, from greeting people at the front door to bringing food and providing it, to helping to set up and to clean up and everything in between. And that's a great place. If you're ever looking for a place to serve, hospitality is a great place to serve. If you like people, we'll put you up front and let you meet people. If you don't like people, we'll put you in the back and let you clean up and stuff like that. And it's a win-win for everybody, right? If you don't know whether you like people or don't like people, we'll help you figure that out, okay? We probably already know. And I wanted to show this because I loved what some of the things that that Susan and Sharla put together for this particular part of the report, and just in terms of our music and worship ministry, because it's so important what we do here and what our team does in terms of leading us each week into worship and into focusing on God and kind of setting the stage for us to kind of put all the distractions behind us and come and just allow God to speak in however he plans to do that, whether it's through scripture or word or through a music or something someone says. But our team led us in about 100 worship services, give or take one or two, through the year. 100 worship services is incredible when you think about the rehearsal times that go into that, and then showing up and leading us. Almost around 600 songs they led us in 2017. I don't think I have that many songs on my phone. 600 songs. So incredible stuff. And that's an area too where they've been intentional about next generation and including high school students, middle school students, college students, anyone that wants to serve in that ministry, whether up on stage singing or running our sound tech stuff. So that's a place where we've certainly been next generation focused over the last few years. And then some of the other things that we talk about this a lot are our missions and outreach. We supported Beth the last 2 years while she was serving in the Tanya Center. The Tanya Center has typically around 165 kids that at the school there. It's a residential school where they live there throughout the week. Most of them go home on breaks, but some of them don't have homes to go to, so they stay there year-round. Beth worked with 45 kids directly, doing all kinds of things from teaching English to music to computers to PE one semester. They had her teaching that. And Beth just did a lot of various things to help the Tanya Center figure some things out and get some things done. But one of the best things of her being there was just being kind of our eyes on the ground there, because she helped us figure out some things about how we can partner with the Tanya Center that we just couldn't have done without her being there, without having someone there to actually know what was going on. And we had a team there just a few weeks ago, and they'll be talking to us a little bit more about what it might look like for us as we move forward in the future with the Tanya Center. Vulnerable children is something that we're passionate about here. And this year we were honored in 2017 to have Enoch come. Enoch lives in Kenya. He's a part of Nairobi Gospel Center's International Church. He's the student pastor there at the main church. He is also the case manager for the Embakasi Children's Project, which is a project we partnered together with this church on, along with Side by Side Ministries and the Royal Diadem there in Nairobi. And throughout 2017, we had five kids in the Embakasi Children's Program. And basically what that means is what Side by Side did was provided funding for these kids. Our church provides funding for Enoch's position, his stipend position. Side by Side provides funding for these five kids to get into better schools. These are kids who are considered orphaned by Nairobi Gospel Center's definition. They've either lost both of their parents or they've lost their father, and they're being raised by either their mother or they're being raised by siblings or other relatives or someone. And so these five kids, what we've done is just provide funding to get them into a private school, a better school, so they can get a better education, have a better chance for a future. So we provide the funding for their school fees, their books, shoes, uniforms, supplies, and occasionally there's extra things that the family needs that if we have the money, we'll send it their way, depending on what Enoch thinks about that. This year, as we were getting ready to go into 2018, Pastor Charles called me and he said, "David, we've got five kids that are ready to go into this program. We would like to double the number of kids if you guys can handle that." And so Side by Side immediately said, "Absolutely, we'll take that on. We'll take on the extra expenses, and we'll figure out where the money's going to come from." So we'll be talking to you in a few weeks about some of that. But it was great to have Enoch here telling us about the impact of this program. And I didn't even know some of the impact that this program was having, but it is making an incredible difference in these kids and these families' lives. Because what the great thing about partnering with someone else, particularly when we're talking about doing missions and ministry in other cultures, is they're able to do so much there. We provide the financial support, and that's kind of the easy side. Nairobi Gospel Center Church and the people there are working with these kids and these families day in and day out to provide spiritual support, to provide emotional support. They have a counselor on staff that counsels with the kids and the families about grief and loss and helps them deal with that. Enoch and some of the other men in the churches kind of step into that father figure role with some of the kids who need that in their life. And so it is just this ministry right here alone is having an incredible impact on these lives. Tanya, do you remember when I stood on stage and I held up one of those little tiny Raspberry Pi computers, right? A real cheap computer, but very powerful and works great. So in 2016, we sent about 20 of those computers back to the Tanya Center with Beth in a suitcase and somehow managed to get it through security and everything. And so it took us a few months after that to actually get the computer lab up and running, like in, I think, February or March of 2017, we actually got that running because we needed to buy them some monitors and keyboards and mice. So that computer lab is up and running and being used today at the Tanya Center because of your contributions in making that happen. You can't really talk about our impact report without talking about Operation Christmas Child, right? Because it's literally our largest event at this point of the year. One of our, certainly the ministry that we put the most financial backing behind at this point. We packed around 2,100 shoe boxes, special access shoe boxes. We did a whole lot more shoe boxes than that with people who packed their own and brought them in. We had around 190 people, give or take a few. It's hard to count when you get to that size crowd at our box packing party. We had 27 volunteers who covered 56 shifts for the processing center, the drop-off center, where other people brought their boxes to us. So just another incredible, incredible year for Operation Christmas Child. And I told the early service that we have a need where this ministry is concerned, and what we need are core leaders to make sure it continues to happen. If we want to continue doing Operation Christmas Child at the level we've been doing, at the capacity we've been doing, in the way that we've been doing it, or maybe in a new way, we're open to all of that. But all of the leaders who have been leading so faithfully through the years, the core leaders who have really gotten us to where we are, have come to us and have said, it's time for us to step away from this ministry so that we can lead in some other areas in the church where we're passionate about. And so we need more people to lead. And I'm not saying we need more volunteers to show up and help. I'm saying we need three or four of you who will say, we will come together and we will form the core leadership team to make sure Operation Christmas Child continues to happen in a significant way here. If we don't have that, then we'll have to look at how are we going to do Operation Christmas Child a little bit differently and probably on a smaller scale. But we are looking for that leadership. So maybe that's something that you would say, that breaks my heart. Or that's something that stirs me emotionally, that I want to be involved and I want to do something about it. If that's the case, or as you think about this question that we're looking at, if God begins to move you in that direction, we'd love to talk to you about what leadership in this ministry might look like for you. So we'd love to have that conversation. Braddock Glen, this is a local ministry that I think is having some significant impact on people's lives. We have around 17 volunteers on average each month that goes to Braddock Glen, and they serve around 22 of the senior adults that live there at Braddock Glen Assisted Living. I've seen this ministry firsthand. I've been to it a couple of times because I just wanted to see what it looked like and what the impact was. And you really can't describe the looks on the residents' faces when our team shows up, especially when there's kids along with them, and some of you are so great to bring your kids along. And, you know, we always do an art, a craft or something like that. And that's really just a means to an end, isn't it? I mean, that's not the real thing. The real thing is the conversations that end up happening and the opportunity to let people share their story and the opportunity to encourage the residents there. So again, this is a great program to plug into. It's an easy one to jump into if you're looking for somewhere to serve where you can make a difference. We'd love to have you help us participate in that. The Lamb Center is also another local ministry. It's just a couple of miles down the road from here. historically, we've served around 60 homeless people each month when we've provided a meal. They've actually asked us over the last few months to increase that to about 100 people just because of their capacity. We had a team there yesterday, right, serving at the Lamb Center. We have around 30 volunteers that serve there throughout the year. They rotate months in. Around 30 volunteers, which is a great number of people to have serving. We can always use more. Some of those volunteers don't even attend here. People who have brought their friends into the ministry to help them with that. But the Lamb Center is a day shelter for homeless people, and so it's a place for people to come and get a hot meal, have a place to have their laundry done. They have shower facilities. They have lots of different resources for them to look for jobs and find jobs and that sort of thing. So it's a great partner that we have with them. I won't go into a lot of detail on hypothermia response because Jeremy did such a great job last week of introducing that to us, and we'll be talking about that more and more. But I would encourage you to take a look at that in the report. Take a look at that, the 2017 Facets report, at the impact that this ministry had in our county, specifically in this part of the western county of Fairfax. And remember, that's coming up. We'll talk about that when we get down to our announcements. And then our partnerships. Like I said, our goal is not to go out and create a whole bunch of new ministries. Our strategy is to find people who are already doing things to make a difference and look at how can we partner with them? How can we come alongside of them and support them, help them do it bigger or better, or just come along and be a part of what they're doing? So when you get a chance, take a look at the partnerships we've already established. Some of them are no longer existing partnerships, come and go. That's just the way they go. But our goal, one of our objectives is to look back 10 years from now, actually about 9 years from now at this point, and see that we partnered with at least 100 different people or groups over the last 10 years to help make a difference and help make the world a better place. And we are well on our way to that 100 mark. And then I'll finish with our finances, because this is an incredibly generous church. You're generous with your time, with your resources, your energy, your leadership. You're also incredibly generous with your finances, and take a look at the fuller report, because there's a lot more graphs. I'm only going to show you one graphic today, but take a look at the full report. It has a lot more graphics to show you, but you can see just the giving. The blue is 2017. The giving has just increased through the years, through your generosity, and it's just allowed us to do more and more things that we've been a part of. And that number, that $565,000 that was given to unrestricted, and unrestricted is money that's just given for whatever the church needs to use it for, to give to help us with our ministry plans, our budgeted items, all of that. We have something that's called restricted giving, like when we were collecting money to support Beth, that was designated, that was restricted to just that. But this is unrestricted giving. That number is not only exceeded last year's budget, it exceeds this year's current budget, 2018. And like I said in the early service, what that means is we've got some cushion, right? We got some cushion to fix the heat when it goes out on Sunday mornings, which is a good thing. But we also have some cushion that when opportunities come up that we could not anticipate to serve somewhere in our community or in the world, and it requires some financial commitment on our part, we have an opportunity to jump into that because of how generous you've already been ahead of time. You've paid it forward in a sense. So when those opportunities, a lot of churches aren't in this position, but we are in a position that when we have an opportunity where we say something needs to be done about that, that is a problem that needs to be solved, that is an issue that needs to be addressed, we can do something about it. We can turn on a dime because we've already got some funding available, because you've already been so generous to make that happen. So those are some of the highlights. Again, check out the entire report. But as we wrap up, I just want to take us kind of back to our question that we've been asking for the last few weeks. You know, and we've been asking the question, what breaks your heart? And so we tweaked it a little bit for this week. And in 2018, the question is, you know, what will break our hearts as a church? That what will God stir in us as a church that when we see it, that we would say, you know, something needs to be done about that. And we can do something about that. And there's a lot of areas, there's a lot of opportunities that we can be a part of and should be a part of and probably will step into and lean in those directions as they come up and we see them. I just want to point out three areas this morning. Broad areas, general areas that I think should stir us emotionally so that we want to take some action as a church as we move forward this year and in the coming years. And the first one is this, a culture that no longer needs faith. A culture that no longer needs faith. And what I mean by that is we live in a culture that no longer feels like it needs faith or readily embraces faith. We live in a culture that, for the most part, doesn't trust religious organizations, doesn't trust local churches. And some of that we deserve, right? Some of that we've earned fair and square. Some of it we don't deserve. But I think that should break our hearts. I think that is something that we should do something about. I think that our church can be a part of a growing number of churches that are trying to create environments where people who are outside of faith can come and find a safe place where they can explore their faith, where they can ask difficult questions and find answers to some of those questions. You know, a few years ago, I was reading an article, it's about 15 years ago, that literally broke my heart when I read the article. It was an article on faith and religion in Europe, and specifically in the UK. And there was a term that the writer of that article used that I had never heard of. I didn't even know the term existed. When they were talking about the religious culture in Europe, and the term was post-Christian. And when I heard that term, when I read that term, I was sitting at a Starbucks, and I literally started to get tears in my eyes because the thought of a culture is now post-Christian. It's not pre-Christian and heading that way. It's been Christian, and it's heading away or gone. And I thought, I hope that never is used to describe the culture in America, but today it is. We are being considered a post-Christian culture, and I think that should break our heart. So I think we should be a church that says, you know, we're going to do something about it. As hard as it is, we're going to figure out how can we be a church for people who just don't like church, who don't trust church, who normally wouldn't even want to be a part of a church, and how can we help them step into this place? Here's something else that I think should move us. It's the least of these. And I realize that we already have a deep heart, a big heart for this part of our community and this part of our world. But I think in 2018, God is going to call us to do even more. And I don't know what that looks like, but maybe that means doing more to help kids get better educations in developing countries. Or maybe it means stepping into something completely new, like supporting adoption and fostering initiatives or local refugees that need some kind of support. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, we're going to need people to lead us and help us figure out what that looks like. And then we're going to need others to come alongside of them and join them in that work. And then here's the third thing. It's simply the next generation of leadership in our church. This is one that I would say keeps me up at night. This is, you know, one of the best legacies that our generation, us, right here in our church today, can have in this church is that not only did we reach the next generation, but that we equipped the next generation to be leaders, and we actually entrusted that leadership to them and saw them take over that leadership and let them have that. And I know that can be unnerving to some of us and challenging to some of us to think of a 19 or 20 or 22-year-old leading this church, but they are capable of doing it because we are capable of getting them there and preparing them to do that. So that should move us to action. So three broad areas where I think we can do a little bit more this year and in the years to come. I want to wrap up with this. It's something I said last week, and it's that at the end of the day, if we decide to move, even in a small way, if we decide to move in the direction of whatever it is that breaks our heart, it's going to require something of us. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some time. It's going to cost us some finances. It's going to cost us some missed opportunities in some other areas. We're going to have to learn to say no to this so we can say yes to this. It's probably going to take us away from some things that we value and some things that we cherish. It's going to cost us something. But here's the thing that I gave you at the very first of this series that I think we all need to hear and all need to understand. It's this. We have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decision to embrace the burden that God has placed on us. We have no idea. We don't know. We have no idea who, and we have no idea where. We have no idea what hangs in the balance. We have no idea what part of our population, we have no idea what people in our community, in our country, in our world, we have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decision to create some space, to feel what it is God wants us to feel, and to do what it is that God wants us to do. We have no idea what hangs in the balance, what God can do in the lives of people when we decide to embrace the burden that God has placed on our heart. So let's do this. Let's think about this question. One more week, what breaks your heart? And let's think about it in terms of our church too. What will break our heart as we move forward this year and in the years to come? And next week, as we begin to wrap this series up, we'll pick it up right there. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for this church. And I thank you that we can stop today and we can look back at the impact that this church has had this year and through the years. And it's not an opportunity for us to pat ourselves on the back. It's an opportunity for us to look at what you did and what you allowed us to be a part of. But it's also an opportunity to challenge us into the future. God, I thank you for the children right now in Kenya who are in a better school and are having a better chance at a better future because of people in this church. And God, I thank you that their moms and their siblings and their grandparents, that they can just rest a little more easy in the midst of very difficult times, knowing that their kids, their sons and daughters are in safer and better schools, and that they're going to have a chance for the future. I thank you for people like Enoch and Pastor Charles who are serving these kids day in and day out at Nairobi Gospel Center and meeting their spiritual and emotional needs. And I just pray that you would equip them with everything that they need. And God, I thank you for the people in our community just right down the road who, because of this church, they've gotten meals that maybe they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And they've had a place to sleep, and in just a few weeks, they'll have another place to sleep because of people in this church who give sacrificially financially, who give of their time and their energy, who show up to cook meals, who show up in the middle of the night to make sure everybody is safe and has what they need. And so I thank you for the people who make that happen in this church. God, I thank you for the shoe boxes that went out this year and became resources in the hands of local pastors and local churches to share your love with their community. I thank you that was a tool for your kingdom. And I just pray that you would just continue to bless that ministry and that you would continue to bless the pastors who receive those boxes as they lead in their own communities. And then God, I thank you for the kids and the students in this church that are served each week, that are mentored each week, that have the same volunteers show up week after week and invest in their lives and to teach them what it means to be your follower. And what it means to be your follower, not just here on Sundays, but everywhere they find themselves, even in a difficult world where it's hard to be a follower of yours as a teenager sometimes. So I thank you for those kids and for those students. I thank you for the people who are investing in them. I thank you for our college students, wherever they are, whether they're here today or whether they're away at school. And I thank you for the people who keep them in touch and keep them connected to this church home and for reaching out to them. And God, I just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to serve our community, to serve our world this past year. And I thank you for the things that we're going to be allowed to be a part of this next year. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.